Brad Hayes, how are the new House Democrats doing so far? And I should mention that Brad Hayes is Associate Professor of Political Science at Union College and a brilliant one at that. So the question I have for you is, how are those Democrats doing?
So when we're talking about the new Democrats, one of the challenges in answering that sort of a question is thinking about the ideological diversity among first-year congressional Democrats, right? That we saw a kind of an influx of moderate Democrats that won in what were either kind of competitive districts or districts that were, you know, actually kind of red, but, you know, moderately so. And that particular group, right, has in some ways behaved quite differently than the one that's probably gotten more media attention, which is the kind of the far left group.
Right, so you are. You are. No question about it. Right. The moderates were the reason that they took over the House.
Right. And but in some ways, the profile has largely been, I think, more so on the left, AOC, and pushing for things like the Green New Deal. Single-payer health care. And so in that way, I think in terms of headlines and attention, the left wing of the party has been able to do more. However, one of the things that's really interesting is if you begin to analyze what has been done and where it has been done as a way of evaluating whether there's actual legislative influence. So, for example, in the past week, there was a hearing on a single-payer healthcare system. This was, of course, the first time that hearings have been held in this, and it was very much a kind of a victory of for the left in the Democratic Party that this was held at all, because Nancy Pelosi has basically said that she's not terribly interested in pursuing some of the far left's agenda, including single-payer. However, one of the things that was really telling about that particular hearing was that it was held in the Rules Committee. Okay, and the Rules Committee is not the committee to make that kind of a legislative move, right? That in fact, that was an odd positioning for it in many ways, I think in part because of that, it changed the very tone of that hearing. The hearing was actually not very controversial. It was in some ways not very interesting. It was just one of those things where kind of information was presented, and there was a little bit of pushback here and there on a handful of issues, like would a single-payer system close rural hospitals? But there wasn't a lot of mixing up. You know, usually when we hear about like a single-payer system, there are issues about, you know, socialism and the end of freedom, the end of choice. And there wasn't a lot of that. In part, I think that's because even Republicans knew that this wasn't being treated as a serious legislative proposal, as a reflection of even where the hearings were being held and what committee, the Rules Committee. So in that regard, I think, you know, they have certainly had profile, and they've been able to use that profile to highlight some of the issues that they believe are vital to the country. But on the same time, like, we haven't seen a lot of that turning out into legislative proposals that have been advancing, and that demonstrates that they may have a little bit more profile than they do power.
And Nancy Pelosi, of course, in terms of the impeachment process, has been quite clear, right?
She's been very clear, to the point where it's almost a little surprising that she's been as authoritative as she has been, suggesting that, her treatment of impeachment seems like it's on a single dimension. Now, I don't know if she's actually thinking about it that way, but that dimension is about the process of eventually removing the president of the United States.
I couldn't agree with you more. You're exactly right by saying, got to beat him in an election. People will get angry. Otherwise, you'll energize the Republican base. But it's all about not only winning the presidential election, but adding to the House.
Right. And I think in many ways, right, that may be a misreading. A misreading in the sense that impeachment is not just about an outcome. It's not an outcome. We talk about impeaching a president.
Right.
But impeachment is a process, right? And the question is whether, in fact, Democrats should be engaging in the impeachment process, right, engaging in hearings, moving forward with the idea that the House as an institution needs more information to assess whether, in fact, the president has run afoul of high crimes and misdemeanors, and then to play that out, right, to actually have a series of hearings that expose potential presidential malfeasance do so in a way that doesn't necessarily produce articles of impeachment. I mean, the option at the end of that would be several fold. One, you could attempt to censure the president. You could put out a report that suggests, you know, that impeachment was possible, but they did not decide to move forward, et cetera, et cetera. And the question would be, in the course of those types of hearings, would public opinion move? Yeah. Right. In other words,
been no indication whatsoever, Brad Hayes, that those 97% of the Republicans are moving no matter what this guy does.
Yeah. And I'm not sure that that's your target. Right. I mean, that's exactly right. It hasn't moved Republican opinion at all. And independents right now are sort of against impeachment, right? A bare majority is saying, like, well, let's move on. But that number is actually quite small. And if you could move independent voters a little bit, right, then in fact impeachment hearings might do significant damage.
On the other hand, Brad Hayes, think about this. If you fail to convict him in a Senate trial after an impeachment, you would get this guy tweeting every day, "I was exonerated."
But I think that, again, that is assuming that you actually send it over to the Senate, which to me is not clear. Again, that's thinking about that the outcome of impeachment are articles of impeachment.
If you don't send it over to the Senate, he's still going to tweet and say, you see, they didn't even have enough to do that.
But you could, in fact, pass a resolution of censure.
Oh, right? Yeah, I'm all for that.
Right. So in other words, there would be outcomes that, in fact, were more controlled and more damning than perhaps the articles of impeachment.
Well, then they would say, just like in the Bugs Bunny cartoons, there goes those nasty Democrats again, you know, just doing their political thing.
Right. But and let's throw this back into the Pelosi frame, right? She's concerned about the problems of the election. Well, this election is almost certainly going to be about mobilization. Right. In other words, it's not anymore about finding these small pockets of individuals that we can persuade to be on our side versus their side. Now it's about animating your base, animating your party, just in the way that we saw it in 2018. Right. Focus on this. And by the way, while the House is doing this, candidates can do something else. Right. The candidates for 2020 can talk about healthcare, or can take on Trump on immigration.
Or impeachment. The candidates could say, let's impeach him.
But in other words, but you don't have to be doing that. In other words, if Democrats in the electorate are saying our number one issue is healthcare, right? Candidates can talk about that. In the meanwhile, the House can talk about the scandals, right? And that creates a certain kind of salience to the issue that, in fact, might not accrue otherwise. And what Democrats do not want this election to be about is the economy.
It's always great to have our buddy Brad Hayes, Associate Professor of Political Science, a star at Union College, owns a PhD in government politics from the University of Maryland. And Brad, we love it when you're here. Thanks so much.
Thanks, Alan.